Another day, another economic indicator.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The markets have been all over the place lately, mostly because we've been getting a lot of mixed signals from the economy, and investors have been left scratching their heads, wondering if the recession is ending or if we're still in the middle of it. For instance, yesterday we got good news about the gross domestic product. It's seen as the indicator of economic growth. But this morning, some not so good news. Consumer spending plunged in September, its biggest drop in 9 months. Now, that's a big deal, considering consumer spending makes up about 70% of our economy. To help us suss this out is Lance Pan. He's the director of investment research at Capital Advisors Group in Boston. He joins us live. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Stacey.
So let's start with consumer spending. Why did it drop so much?
Well, actually, the market was expecting the number to be down about 0.5%. This is not a surprise. Most of the drop was due to the drop from the end of the Cash for Clunkers program, because August was a big number. Now the program went away, so the number dropped back. That's why most of it.
So if the GDP is up and consumer spending is down, what is the takeaway? Where does that leave our economy?
Obviously, the September, the third quarter GDP was a good number, but that's one quarter of positive number doesn't usually end the recession. The economy needs to be on the recovery path, and the consumer spending really is a big picture in that overall kind of scheme. So we would need consumers to continue to spend in order for the fourth quarter GDP to stay up. So it is a very big issue, or at least is a concern, a challenge for us to deal with. How do we keep the consumer spending up?
So should the government have more programs to encourage spending, like Cash for Clunkers or the first-time homebuyer tax credit?
Programs like that have had their effect initially, but patients always feel better when they're on medication, but they really need to be better without the medication for them to be well. So the same thing is that consumers can't be spending the government's money forever. At a certain point, they have to feel better about themselves, about the future, to spending their own money. That's what keeps the recovery going.
So it's the consumer spending maybe a little bit of an artificial drop this morning anyway.
It was.
Lance Pan is the director of investment research at Capital Advisors Group in Boston. Thank you, Lance.
You're welcome.
So, GDP good, consumer spending not so good. Where's Wall Street? Not in a good place would be the answer. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 0.5% to 9,914. The NASDAQ also off 0.5% to 2085. The S&P 500 down 0.6% to 1059. Sony lost money for the third straight quarter. The recession has consumers scaling back on gadgets. Still, Sony boosted its outlook for the year. The tech giant seems to be turning things around with a little help from human nature. Jennifer Collins has more.
Sony struggled to produce a hit new gadget. It doesn't have anything like the iPhone or the Wii. Sales of the company's PlayStation 3 have been decent. But what's really helping the bottom line is this star performer. Michael Jackson. Sony still controls much of Jackson's catalog, and it got a major boost from sales of his songs after his death this summer. Ali Jafar is the international editor for Variety in London.
The whole death of Michael Jackson has turned into something of a pop culture phenomenon. I mean, it's spawned a whole industry. So I'm sure Sony will be hoping to get a sizable chunk of that themselves.
And Sony's looking for another revenue bump with the Jackson film, This Is It. The movie earned $20 million on its first day in theaters this week. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Friday, October 30th at marketplace.org. We're watching pork prices this morning. They're at a three-month high. There's anticipation that China will lift its ban on U.S. pork products following top-level trade talks there. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
Chinese leaders say they will quickly resume imports of American pork. It's been banned since April. That's when swine flu broke out, even though you can't get the virus from eating the other white meat. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is in China for the trade talks. In a brief interview with Marketplace, he said a market opportunity here is the Chinese eat certain parts of the pig that Americans won't touch, like the stomach.
The organs of a hog play a much more important role in the diets of people in Asia than they do in the United States. And so I have watched shoppers shop, and what we would not necessarily accept as a delicacy is accepted as a delicacy here, and that's a great thing.
China is the world's largest consumer of pork. It's the main meat for 80% of the people. The apparent breakthrough for the U.S. industry comes 1 week after China got something it wants. President Obama signed a bill that could eventually let China export cooked chicken to the United States. In 2 weeks, the president makes his first visit to China, and speculation is the official announcement on U.S. pork could come then. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Ford is the only one of the Detroit three automakers that will report earnings this quarter, and some analysts think the company could actually give us a surprise. We asked Elisa Roth to find out whether it's possible and how it happened.
It hasn't been a year since Alan Mulally, the CEO of Ford, said he didn't need help from the government after all. And it's been one of the worst years for car sales in a long time. But Ford could turn a profit this quarter. Alan Baum is an auto industry analyst in Michigan, and here's the main reason.
The obvious thing is that this includes the period of the cash for clunkers.
But you have to give Ford some credit. The company's also been trimming costs in a bunch of different ways. They've been doing everything from cutting production to renegotiating contracts. And people are buying Fords. Baum says the company's luring buyers the old-fashioned way.
They're putting out products that people want. They have new products in the marketplace. They are adding features that people want.
David Silver follows the auto business at Wall Street Strategies. It's a research company.
It's interesting. That's probably the most optimistic view I've seen.
He says Ford's situation is improving, and he says we might see a profit this quarter, but the company won't truly recover until next year. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
British Petroleum is facing another massive penalty for alleged safety violations. Today, the company is expected to be hit with the largest fine in the history of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Stephen Beard has more from London.
The $87 million fine stems from the explosion at BP's Texas City oil refinery in 2005. 15 workers died in that disaster. Officials from OSHA, quoted in the New York Times, say BP has failed to correct many safety problems at the plant. They claim that 4 years after the blast, the company still hasn't complied with hundreds of safety notices. James Batty is with Petroleum Intelligence News.
Quite a surprise in some ways, and it will be a big blow for the company. Ever since the explosion took place, they've been constantly stressing their emphasis on safety and improving their safety practices.
BP says it's disappointed by OSHA's actions. It's appealed to an independent review commission. The Texas explosion has proved the company's costliest accident. It's already paid more than $70 million in penalties and fines and has set aside more than $2 billion to meet legal claims. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Facebook is celebrating a legal victory today. A California court has awarded the social networking site $711 million in damages in an anti-spam case. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Facebook accused internet marketer and so-called spam king Sanford Wallace of accessing users' accounts without their permission. The company said he sent fake posts and messages to lure visitors to marketing websites. Josh Bernoff is the author of Groundswell, a book about social technologies. He says fighting invasions of privacy is a smart business decision for Facebook.
The company's growing so fast, the membership is growing so fast, and that growth is completely dependent on people trusting that the service is legitimate and that the messages from their friends are actually from their real friends.
He says it's also important for Facebook to be seen to be serious about user privacy. It's been debating with members over how it uses their personal information. Facebook says it's happy with the court's judgment, even if it doesn't expect to get much of the damages. Sanford Wallace filed for bankruptcy in June. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
We'll be right back.
the White House releases its latest tally on the jobs that have been created by the $787 billion federal stimulus package. Nearly 10% of the population is currently unemployed, and that number doesn't seem to be dropping. Robert Reich is the former Secretary of Labor and is a professor of public policy at Berkeley. Robert, good morning.
Well, good morning, Stacey.
So it seems like job losses just keep mounting. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, eventually, but things will get worse before they get better. The experts I talk with expect double-digit unemployment through most of next year.
I thought that we'd been hearing a lot about how we'd kind of turned a corner in this recession.
Well, we may have turned a corner, but jobs are the last things to come back in a recovery. And this time around, I'm afraid they will be even slower because of the huge borrowing binge that led up to the recession. Consumers and businesses are reducing their debts and cutting their expenses, which means less demand for all the goods and services people produce. And that means fewer jobs. You know, profits are up, but in many companies, that's because they're cutting payrolls.
So, Robert, what is a possible solution to this pretty bleak-sounding job picture?
Well, I wish there was a simple solution, Stacey. There isn't. There's no magic bullet. Next year is a midterm election, so Congress and the administration are going to want to do everything they can, or at least show that they're doing everything they can. So expect, for example, a new jobs tax credit awarded to smaller businesses that create new jobs. I'd also expect more small business loans, continuing spending from the stimulus package. But it's going to be offset by the states, which are cutting their budgets and laying off workers. The states are engaged in a kind of reverse stimulus. So the White House might try to increase or extend the stimulus.
Robert Reich is the former Secretary of Labor and a professor of public policy at Berkeley. Robert, thank you.
Thanks, Stacey.
Halloween is tomorrow. This year, we'll spend about $4 billion on costumes and decorations. Just what are we spending it on? Well, Experian Hitwise compiled a list of the most searched for costumes on the internet. Among them, Michael Jackson, the Balloon Boy, Sexy Sailor, and Adult Care Bear. You know, I used to watch Care Bears, and I really don't remember that episode. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.